for the last probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, Kathy and I found this show called Heartland, and we found it in the children's part of the library, and we really liked the show. I haven't even been watching Hallmark, man. But during the show, they had an episode in season six where they are foster caring a little girl named Georgie. She's so cute, and she's learning how to ride horses and all. But during the episode, she hears her foster mom telling her foster dad on the phone because he's away at work. You know, she's hard to handle. I need you here. And she thought she wasn't wanted, so she ran away. Then they found her. And when they came back, it really ministered to me because her foster mom looked at her and said, "You are a part of this family. I want you to repeat after me, I'm a part of this family." And I thought to myself, we need to do that in church. So I'm going to make some statements, and I want you to repeat them. I am a part of this family. I am loved by God. He sent his son to die on a cross for me. I'm loved by my pastors, Nick and Caleb. And I am loved by my church family. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. We're like foster children for him. He's adopted us. You know what I mean? Think about it. I'm hoping that this message will show today that Mary accepted her role as Jesus' mother with trust, the same trust that the disciples gave him when they started following him. Let's pray. Father, I just give you the glory for today, Lord. Thank you on how you work. Thank you just hearing Lynn's testimony. I'm thinking maybe that's what the whole angel tree was about. Just for them to come across those people hurting and being there to pray for them and care for them. That's what going public is all about, Father. So I thank you, Father. I pray that you bless each one of those kids. Almost 33, 35 kids will be receiving gifts from people from this congregation that are loved by God, that are a part of this family, that gave and sacrificed to buy these presents for these kids, Father. And I pray that they're blessed by them. Father, I pray that your presence will fall down on this place like it's never fallen before, Father. That we will sense your spirit here, that we would understand you more, that we would walk out of this place different, knowing that you want to have a relationship with us. That each year we celebrate your birth. Each year we celebrate your resurrection, Father. Father, I pray for tomorrow night as well, Lord, that your mighty will would be done in this place. That you have a plan for it. You have a purpose for it. And Father, I just want to be right in the middle of it. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Each disciple submitted to God. They submitted to God's call in their lives, even though the call was costly. Think about it. An angel came and presented a young woman named Mary with an option. The choice was not between becoming a mother or not. She had to decide whether to become obedient or to rebel. But as you read in the scriptures, Mary chose well. Mary trusted God enough to submit to his costly call on her life. 30 years later, I thought, Mary's son called 12 men to be his disciples. He didn't really promise them anything, at least nothing that would appeal to most in our day. They had little reason to listen to Jesus' call. He hadn't performed any miracles yet. No one outside his family and his Nazarene neighbors even knew his name. But they chose to follow Jesus anyway. It would cost them the world, but they would gain eternity. I would like to share with you 4 things today that I feel like Jesus called his disciples to do back then, and hoping that you see those same 4 things in your life today in 2018. 1, Jesus called his disciples to leave. Matthew 4:22 tells us, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, there's a film that came out this year. I've never taken, a saying from Winnie the Pooh, but I'm going to do it now. In 2018, there was a film called Christopher Robin. And Winnie the Pooh makes this comment. It's powerful. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Think about it. Let's read that together. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Silly Pooh Bear. His innocent wit stumbles on a great truth, and I thought to myself, no one can gain what they want without releasing something they have. Think about it. The difficulty is deciding whether the cost of losing what you currently possess is worth the acquisition of what you desire. Each of Jesus' disciples faced an immediate decision to leave something of great value. I think about it. Peter and Andrew, James, John, they each left their profession. Even though it was all they knew, so did Levi. Doing so probably infuriated the Roman employers. Nathanael and Simon the Zealot, I found out, they had to get rid of some prejudices that would have otherwise limited their ministry. But each man, each disciple had plans for what they believed their future would be. Each had responsibilities to their family, to their country, to their heritage, but Jesus called them to leave. They did, and Jesus is still calling people to leave their old way of life and to become a new creation in Him, with Him, and through Him. Number two, Jesus called His disciples to learn. Mark 4:2 tells us He was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in His teaching. We here at this church, Community Christian Fellowship, the staff, the elders, the other leaders, have a goal. We have a desire to teach you the things from God's Word. We want to have Bible studies for adults and youth and children so they have a place to grow. I'm already working on the message for 2019. I'm excited. This series came to me when I was on the treadmill a couple weeks ago. I pulled out this old album, and I'm going to have a trivia thing. Pete sitting here? He's not allowed to answer. Pete, you're not allowed to answer the question. So I pulled this album out that I got from Record and Tape Exchange in Frederick's, great store for old records. And I'm on the treadmill, and I heard this song that when I was a teenager I loved, and it's called How Can I Be Sure? Does anybody here besides Pete Schoenhoff know who sang that song? How Can I Be Sure? Maybe I'll give you a little glimpse of the lyrics and it might come to you. Praise God. How can I be sure? How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? How can I be sure where I stand with you? Whenever I'm away from you, I love it. How can I be sure? I really, really want to know. I really want to know. How can I be sure in a world that's ever changing? Anybody know that answer? Who sang that? 1967. There you go. You win a free keychain on the way out. Anybody else needs a keychain back there? Young Rascals. And I thought to myself, and I'm on the treadmill, I'm probably about going maybe 2.5. You know, Kayla came over my house one time. He's going like 6. I'm thinking, unbelievable. But it's incredible. And I thought to myself, aren't we living in a world that seems to be ever changing? You know, and what are we going to do about it as this next generation? We see these young college kids in here today. I feel for you, man. I really do. You're in a world that's constantly changing. College has got to be totally different now than it was even 10 years ago with the things they teach you and the things they tell you to do. So I thought to myself, you know, how can I be sure? And the world is ever changing. So it's very important. That's coming up in 2019. And I thought about, what book could we do that? And we're going to go through 2 Peter verse by verse. But that's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner. Jesus called His disciples to learn. Disciple means a learner or a follower. And before they could change the world, because Jesus wanted to pour into these disciples because He wanted them to change the world. But these 12 had to unlearn a lot of things. Jesus had much to say to them. And I thought to myself, He taught them the difference between what was shiny and what possessed true value. Through his parables and his examples, he taught them to bypass society's standards and see people as equal creations of God. He taught that then, though God is concerned about our actions, he's more concerned about our heart and what's on our heart. He overturned the tables to teach them. He multiplied food to teach them. He sent them into horrific storms, knowing this was the only way that they could learn his presence and would be with them even when they could not see them. And I thought to myself, anybody going through a storm lately? Anybody going through a storm right now? He does that so we can learn his presence, that he'll be with us no matter what. One of the first lessons that Jesus taught was on humility and trust. They had unsuccessfully fished all night. And Jesus, who was a carpenter, told them to throw their nets on the other side. They knew about fishing, and with no other reason that their trust in the one who gave the command, they obeyed. And the fish almost swamped their boats. And when they obeyed without logic, reason for doing so, and then Peter knelt down at Jesus' feet on the shore, and they evidenced their teachability. So Jesus taught them, and he's still calling on his disciples to learn. And I'm supposed to ask you today, we're getting close to 2019. How's your learning going? Do you have any plans to grow in the year 2019? Or are you sitting here as a parent? What's your plan for your children to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We'll always do everything we can at this church because you're part of God's family here. And we are a family to help you to leave your old way of life and to learn like the disciples learned. The third thing Jesus taught, he called his disciples to change. It says in Matthew 4:19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I don't think anybody could spend an extended time around Jesus and remain unchanged. Being in his presence will affect you. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your friendship. It'll affect you as a parent or a child. It'll either soften your heart or turn it to stone. It's so true. For 9 years, I went down to Central Union Mission. I might have shared this story. You know, when you get older, the stories seem to repeat themselves. Have I shared that story in here? Praise God. For 9 years, I went down to Central Union Mission and got to speak to homeless men, probably 80 guys, sitting there. Once a month, we would drive down. Then when I became a youth pastor, I started bringing the teenagers down there and, you know, just ministering to them. And one night, man, I was just laying out the gospel, but I felt like I didn't reach anybody. I felt like there was a wall right there with all these homeless guys there. And on the way home in the van, one of the adults told me, "Nick, every time you speak the truth, somebody's heart is either going to be softened or somebody's heart is going to be hardened." I mean, we might see that here tomorrow night because there'll be a lot of people here. And we pray that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ would shine upon each heart that comes here. But some people might walk away here tomorrow night more hardened, more upset maybe about God or something in their life. But I don't think, when you think about Jesus training his disciples and discipling them, he wasn't content for them just to learn. Their knowledge had to translate into a heart change and a change of action. And there was probably a lot of times where there was no observable or significant or permanent change in either area throughout Jesus' ministry. He must have frustrated him at times. His followers, I think about it, his followers argued who was the greatest among them. And what did Jesus do? Wash your feet. Peter cut off an enemy's ear. He didn't mess around, man. Jesus allowed his enemies to torture him. Jesus gave his life. They ran away to preserve their own. But change did come. Jesus promised, "I'll make you fishers of men." And Jesus always finishes what he starts. Check out these verses, Philippians 1:6. "For I am confident in this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a promise of God's word. He's going to continue to pour into you. He's going to continue to bring people into your life that will help mentor you and show you things. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, because we're all a family, right? Let us lay aside every encumbrance. What kind of word is that? Encumbrance means a burden or a load or a hindrance or a nuisance. Every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How is your endurance? Jesus called them to change. Jesus is still calling his disciples to change. Are there any changes that you need to make? We're coming up on a new year. I love the new year. I love to start fresh. The last thing, Jesus called his disciples to go. That's what we've been talking about for how, 2 or 3 months now. In Luke 10:1, he said, now the 70 sent out, subtitle. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of them, to every city and place where he himself was going to come. So disciples, they left, they learned, they changed. It was time for them to go public and to practice what they have seen Jesus do. And I made this statement, I put in your listening guide. You might not agree with me, but I think it's true. There's no point to becoming a disciple of Jesus without the going. No point. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. A disciple's primary task is become like his master. Luke 6:40 tells us a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. It's impossible to be a disciple of Jesus without following his call to go. The going was both a culmination of the learning process and a continuation of it. And now I know no disciple has learned all he needs to know or has changed everything that needs to be corrected until we stand before God. The stress of going showed what was lacking in their knowledge and their character and brought them back to the master for him to supply what they were lacking. And you're listening, God, I put it, as they obeyed his call to go, the Lord added daily to his church. Think about it. There's one statement right there. As we obey his call to go, the Lord will add daily to our church family here. In closing, the ushers, band, want to get ready. Jesus' male disciples did not embrace God's call on their lives as quickly and completely as Mary did. For them, there was always a possibility of retreat, and they did temporarily go back to fishing after Jesus' resurrection. But each of them eventually, each disciple, when you read the Gospels, eventually showed Jesus' wisdom and his choosing. One, they willingly laid down their plans. Two, they willingly laid down their goods. Three, they willingly laid down their lives as their master had done. Though none of them or none of us is going to achieve perfection here on earth, we each emulate Jesus and train others to do the same. Disciples making disciples. That's the call Jesus still puts on us today. I'm supposed to ask you that. Are you going to answer that call? I believe Jesus is still calling disciples to leave, to learn, to change, and to go. Come on forward. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your word, Father. Father, I pray for my voice for tomorrow night, Lord. I'm excited about tomorrow night. I'm excited about sharing your words. I get to share 2 days in a row. And I'm so thankful for that and blessed for that. But I can't do it without your presence. So, Father, we pray that your presence will be mighty in this place, even right now in this moment, as we open up this altar for those who might be going through a storm, or for those maybe who want to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior and become a disciple. Because he's still calling disciples today. He still wants to make a difference in every one of our hearts. In Revelations, it actually said he knocks on the door of our heart. And he says he's open to come and be with us, Father. So, Father, I pray for our altar time. I pray for this offering, Lord. I pray for this church family, because we all are a part of it. We are loved by God. We are loved by the elders and the pastors here and the leaders here who consistently serve. Father, I thank you for the band that's up here, Lord, who just want to acknowledge you when they sing their songs, Father. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.